you are making a Charleville cheddar cheese sandwich with Dairy Gold spreadable butter today, you might recognise those as things made by the Kerry Group. If you're eating something that has been flavoured with smoke, breaded or battered, or a coffee flavoured with a syrup, chances are you're also consuming something made by the Kerry Group. And these very different aspects to the same company is behind Kerry asking its shareholders, can it sell off most of its dairy business, please? It's a big change, which has potentially big knock-ons for farming. Q, Lorcan Roach, Kelly to walk into the studio, agribusiness editor with the Irish Farmers Journal, a man with his nose in the spreadsheets of all of the milk processors. Very good morning to you, Lorcan.
Good morning, Philip.
Why would Kerry want to disentangle itself from Kerry Dairy? Isn't that where it all began?
I suppose a history lesson is probably the best place to begin with this story. Like, if we look at the history of Kerry from 1974, it started out as a dairy co-op. There was some government involvement at the time, but in the early mid-80s, Kerry decided to expand and needed to raise capital, so it floated on the stock exchange as a PLC. There was quite a few co-ops did that at the time. We saw Watford did the same thing and a few others. But what Kerry did, it went on an acquisition spree and it started buying companies that weren't dairy companies but were kind of a dairy adjacent, I suppose you'd call them. They were buying companies that were involved in nutrition, they were involved in flavourings, were involved in that. And that business between the mid-80s and right up to today has really taken off for Kerry. So Kerry Group, as we see it right now, is... It's everything.
Look at the website. It reaches its tendrils into pretty much everything you put into your mouth.
Absolutely. And also, it's like its business is 90% non-dairy. So 10% of its 10% of the turnover is dairy. When it comes to the profits, the vast majority of profits Kerry make is from the non-dairy business. The dairy business is always everywhere. It's a small margin business.
So no doubt that's where its focus is. Might it also feel a little bit unseemly for a company with such global ambitions to be involved in local rows about the price of milk?
Oh, there's always going to be local rows about the price of milk, no matter who. But I think it's just its focus now is on the ingredient side of the business. So the dairy business is seen as a legacy business. It's kind of like, you know, when you leave home, I suppose, like when you go home and look at the toys you had when you were a kid or used to play with them. So Kerry's kind of like that with the dairy business.
The band hasn't broken up, though, so to speak. They are still going to perform on each other's solo albums. They're not completely separated.
They're not. Like, the deal that was, I suppose, put forward the other day was that Kerry Group and Kerry Co-op would have a joint venture, is what they're going to. So basically, Kerry Co-op will come up with 350 million euros. Kerry Group will hold on to 150 million euros, so 70-30. And then over the next decade, Kerry Co-op will buy the balance, the extra 150 million, back off Kerry between now and 2035. And if they can't buy it by 2030, Kerry Group will lend them the money to buy it back off them. So it's very much Kerry Group want to get rid of this. So they're breaking up. It's a slow breakup, but the die is cast as the direction they're going to take on it.
Average payout to shareholders?
Well, average shareholders, like the Kerry Co-op shareholders own 11% of Kerry Group. So you look at 11% of Kerry Group right now is worth about 1.7 billion euros. There's 11,900 shareholders. So they're looking at their value of the shareholding is in around 145,000 euros each. Under the deal as is proposed, they'll get 85% of their co-op shareholding in Kerry PLC shares, worth about 122,000 to 125,000 euros, depending on where Kerry is trading in the market today. And then the other 15% will go into a fund to buy the dairy operations.
Back to unseemly local rows about the price of milk. Will the dairy business going to Kerry Dairy and in the hands of the management hands of a company that's a little bit closer to the farmers mean that the farmers are likely to get any more leverage over the price?
I'm not sure that'll get any more leverage over the price. They will continue to argue with the price, but some of the debt and stuff that's coming with this, because Kerry Co-op will owe 150 million euros in debt that has to be paid off, they'll also have an outstanding balance that'll have to come up with they'll owe 100 million and need another 150 million to come up with in the next few years. So there will be debt to pay off. As part of this deal as well, Kerry Group is getting an annual dividend of 7.5 million euros from the dairy operation, as long as they're part of the joint venture. So there will be some headwinds there when it comes to paying, a better price milk, but it comes down to how much you can sell the product for at the end. So if they have some good, as you said, some good consumer products that are coming with it, if those consumer products continue to perform well, the company should be profitable and there should be more money there for farmers.
Speaking of headwinds now, Is there enough milk in the country? Is there going to be enough milk in the country in coming years to keep the lights on in all of these bright, shiny new processing plants?
Yeah, I think this is kind of one of the really big issues facing the dairy industry in Ireland. We saw last week, we saw a merge between two of the smaller co-ops, Tipperary and Narrabawn, and that was driven much by, I suppose, the expansion that happened in Tipperary, particularly in the last few years, that was looking for a continued expansion in the milk supply in Ireland. The milk supply in Ireland stopped growing in 2022. That was the peak year, 2023. Mixture of weather, mixture of costs, the milk supply fell to about 5%. This year, it looks like be back another 2 or 3% by the time the year ends out. So we've seen milk supply fall. And if you're looking at nearly 900 billion litres of milk produced here in 2022, if we fall back to 8 billion litres, then we're seeing a huge drop of 1 billion litres. That's a large co-op of milk supply that's been left the system. So a lot of the investments that happened over the last 5 or 6 years, that were driven by the end of quotas. So the production ramped up, producer said, we'll build a new dryer, we'll take all that milk, you'll be fine. And I saw someone recently said to me, some of the investments were a bit like a guy with 15 cows building a brand new milking parlour. So it's never going to pay for itself unless everything went right. And things haven't necessarily gone right.
I have to mention the D word here. If the derogation is cut or lost, how much less milk are we looking at that? How many less cows?
We're looking at least 10%, another 10%. Because we could lose another billion litres. We could be down to 7, which we're kind of getting close to where we were then back in 2015, before a lot of this new production came online.
All right, that suggests to me that then one of two things happens if the derogation goes. You will either end up with a price war as they all start competing for what milk there is available in the market, or perhaps they enter into some form of cooperation with each other, or in the form of mergers like we saw last week.
Yeah, I think like some of the, a lot of the co-ops need to almost look, be more cooperative with each other. We have Ornua, which is the umbrella co-op for all the co-ops that sell the Kerrygold brand we're all familiar with. But we could see that there's a lot of production facilities in the country, and there should be a way of kind of maximising the use of these facilities. Some of the older facilities might need to be retired. Some of the co-ops might need to be smaller. Some of the co-ops might end up being, I suppose, what they'd call a supplier co-op. So rather than having their own production facilities, they would just supply milk to another one.
This is Lorcan Roach Kelly speculating about what needs to be done. Is there any evidence that there is plan B planning going on between the cooperatives in the event of the derogation being cut?
Not that I've seen a plan B. Like, I think what we saw, particularly with the Tipperary-Narrabawn deal recently, was that was deal was there. Tipperary wanted to stay independent as long as it could. And we're seeing that kind of a very much a cooperative attitude. We are our own co-op. We are loyal to our own brand for the farmer side as well. But there comes a point where that's not viable anymore. And the problem is, if you get to the point where you're not viable, you're having these kind of mergers in situations where it's a merger of weakness. What you should have in the industry is an industry that's willing to say, OK, here's the problem we're going to face. How are we going to do it? Can we get a plan in place? Here's what the plan is. And then you don't have this kind of crunch point where everyone's panicking to try and get a deal over the line.
But it does mean that post 2026, there is the possibility of the weaker operations going to the wall and maybe parts of the country ending up critically underserved by processing, and people have to ship their milk all over the place.
Well, I suppose that's always the way these things, like we get the, it's a very typical business cycle, isn't it? Like you get a growth somewhere in a cycle, investment happens, overinvestment happens, and then the assets that were invested in are worth less money, are underused.
Okay, but the difference here is that Brussels has been sending us clear market signals for a while. In fact, the commissioner came here and said, Ireland, you've been using your time very badly.
Yeah, well, I think if you look at it from the farmer perspective, one thing we have seen in the farmers, like one of the reasons that we haven't seen an expansion in dairy in the last 2 years is because farmers are looking at this and saying, hang on, I'm not going to take a 5-year bet on my milk production if I'm going to get cut in 2 years' time.
The farmers are being prudent. It's the politicians and the CEOs that you have to wonder about.
Well, there's an election coming up, in case you didn't know.
It's
probably not going to turn around and tell farmers, well, actually, in fairness, the Social Democrats have said we're not going to protect the derogation. But beyond them, there haven't been many people that have come out and said we're not, because it's a promise they don't want. They want the promise, we will fight for the derogation. And that's easy to say. Everyone's going to say they'll fight for the derogation. But like, unless someone says,
will they win it?
Exactly. So until that fight is won, we're not going to know which way it's going to roll.
Lorcan Roach Kelly, Agribusiness Editor of the Farmers Journal, thank you very much for coming into us, as always.